Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 115. We are discussing the Arnold Palmer Invitational on the PGA Tour and the Qatar Masters on the European Tour. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. I'm Steve Bamford, PGA Tour preview at Golf Betting System, and with me we have good Golf Betting Systems European Tour expert, Paul Williams. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve. How are you this morning?
We're all right. You good?
I'm not bad at all, actually. Thank you.
GolfBettingSystem.co.uk. We've got so much to talk about. GolfBettingSystem.co.uk is our website. Please subscribe to... I'm smiling here. Please subscribe to the podcast and drive the popularity of the show. Naturally, we are available on social media. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. Paul is available on Twitter at GolfBetting. Let's drive him to 10,000 followers. And I'm available at Bamford Golf. Look out for the Golf Betting System. It's actually the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. I've just done the show, actually. Just search for Steve Bamford Golf YouTube, and you will find the new YouTube channel. Now, please take time to rate and review us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. That is the podcast currency and drives our listener numbers continually upwards. As ever here, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of the next week's show. We need some reviews for the Big Players Championship show next week. Mm-hmm. So take 30 seconds, a minute out of your day, whether you're in the United States, you're in the UK, you're in Ireland, you're in Australia, wherever you listen, take some time out. Give us a review next week. I'll read it out at the start of the Players Championship show, which is always a biggie. I have a review here, Paul.
Okay,
it's from Joey Sampson, and he is in the US of A. Must listen, 5 stars. These two really know their stuff. Great information provided, and they make it entertaining. It is now a must listen for me, along with Foreplay Pod and Draws and Fades. We're in his top 3 podcasts now, Paul.
Very nice.
Joey Sampson. So, Joey, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Cheers, Joey.
Should we talk about last week?
Yeah. Well,
let me look. I'll start.
Before I go into a tirade.
Firstly, I must say, well done to Ben Coley for hitting the transatlantic double.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal performance. I mean, we had a chance, actually. We had a very big chance, but we had players right in the mix. But to do that, kudos, total kudos. So fantastic, well done. Honda Classic. I had a really close look at Sungjae Im, didn't pick him. Big regret. Mm. I hate missing on like 33, 40 to 1 winners.
Yeah. He was impressive though, wasn't he, Sunday?
Sungjae Im statistically doesn't have a lot of weakness.
No.
And you always look at numbers are always strong, pops a lot of models, get that. He'd also finished in the top, I think it was it? He had 2 top 10s in Florida last year when he was a rookie. Mm. It all made perfect sense. The one thing I doubted was whether he could play well in the wind.
Yeah.
So that's been put to the bed now as well.
Well, yeah, and Jeju Island he's from, isn't he? So you'd expect there to be a lot of... He's had a lot of experience playing in the wind, so... Going back to those par threes coming home, to knock both of those to, what, within about 8 feet or so, outstanding, wasn't it? To make the putts, that's just sewing the tournament up, isn't it?
I don't know about you, but for me, he is the most... I think he's the best player to come out of South Korea since KJ Choi.
Yeah, it was a lot of potential, wasn't he?
I think Im is the kind of guy that could win a Players Championship. He's the kind of guy that could potentially get in the mix in a major.
Mm.
I can't say the same about Benny Ann.
No. Although much improved last week, wasn't he?
He's improving, but Im is strong mentally, isn't he? And you can see that from his numbers. When he gets into converting territory, he hangs around. How many times have we seen Benny Ann either get into contending and throw it away, or backdoor top fives like he did again last week?
Yeah.
So I think him mighty impressive.
Yeah, no, he was. And, you know, we've talked about him for a while in terms of his potential, and, you know, as many commentators on the sport have, and it was only a matter of time, wasn't it, before he got one over the line. But very impressive. I was super impressed with the way he closed it out. So
super tournament. I love those tournaments on the PGA Tour. I get so bored with 20 under winning.
Yeah,
it's great to see a proper tournament on the PGA Tour on occasion.
Yeah.
I had two right in the mix. I couldn't. Gary Woodland in interview said that his three doubles were all on Saturday were all down to his ball ending up in sandy divots each time. I don't disbelieve the guy.
No, and there's not much you can do about that. The rubber to green, isn't it, effectively? You're going to get that with any sport, and you get that
That's life, isn't it? Golf. At the end of the day, if you take away... If those three doubles become three bogeys even, he's one shy.
Yeah.
That's golf betting. And Lee Westwood, he was right in the mix for most of it. He's certainly having a renaissance, Leon. He's gone up another couple of points in the world rankings. I think he's 28 this week. And he's now into the automatic spots for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, big focus for him, wasn't it? It was a big price last week. I mean, for your perspective, from an each way
80s,
pickup,
yeah.
80 to 1. That's a lovely, lovely spot and a very nice return. In truth... You know, on Sunday, he didn't get that close to the lead, did he? But he hung around. He made that birdie on the last, which is always nice.
Otherwise, it would have been that nightmare scenario that you often get, isn't it? It's when you all of a sudden you've got two in the top seven, but there's about seven ties with them and you're getting peanuts back for the week. And you think, how the hell have I ended not making a bean, in fact, losing out of that week when I've had two players in the mix the whole week?
Yeah.
So for him to birdie the last, I was actually quite pleased with that because I've had that so many times, you end up with nothing.
Mm.
So yes, birdied the last. What did you think of Tommy Fleetwood?
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? I mean,
everyone's blaming the fact that someone shouted in his backs in his downswing.
You
get other stuff on Twitter saying, well, actually, look, if you actually look at the live footage from this camera, it was actually after and it was the feed that was... So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, undoubtedly there was a noise. Undoubtedly there was massive pressure on him to play that shot. But you would have expected Tommy to get that, to make birdie from that position. Where was he? 230, 215, something like that out, wasn't he, from the middle of the fairway? You know, Tommy's an incredible ball striker. He's finding the dance floor. He's just off it on, you know, 8 out of 10 times. He's rarely is he sticking the ball in the water. So perhaps it did affect him. It's difficult to know. I've not seen any word from him himself to say, if that was the case or, you know, whether that did impact his swing. But clearly it was there. Clearly the footage shows that there was a noise. And it's disappointing, isn't it? Disappointing for him. But... Tommy is another one of those players who likes to rack up these second place finishes, doesn't he? And if you're backing him at short prices, great each way chance, but he's rarely actually converting for the win. Which
10 to 1 was he best priced 12s favourite? He was 10 to 1 with a lot of firms.
Yeah.
I was in absolute physical pain last week, wasn't I? I kept saying to you, I want to back Tommy.
Yeah.
I would back Tommy.
At the right price, yeah. At 16, right 18, price, 20 yeah. to 1.
I think Tommy can win. He's likely to win. He had a great chance of winning. I just can't back him at those price. I can't. Mm. And this week, again, I'm seeing him as short as 12 to 1.
Yeah. It's fine.
Nah, not for me. What can you do? I mean, last week, to have made any profit out of that, you'd have literally just had to put all your stakes on Tommy Fleetwood and you'd have got a fifth return at 10 to 1.
Yeah. It's would have been disappointing for the position he was. He was a couple clear early on Sunday, wasn't he?
Yeah, two clear at one stage.
And,
yeah.
You know, again, an elite player, and Tommy's in that bracket now. An elite player should be converting those opportunities.
And he's also a very popular player, so the odds compilers know if they put him up at any reasonable price, he will get slaughtered.
Yes.
He'll get hammered.
Yep.
So he's always underpriced.
Yeah, he's always short, but he's always in the mix, and you'd expect him to just get over the line a few more times than he does for the positions that he finds himself in. Perhaps it just needs to be that extra ruthless streak. That's, I don't know, you know, the Patrick Reed ability to just convert those opportunities when they're staring you in the face.
Can you actually generate that? Or is that something you're born with?
I don't know. You know, these guys are working with sports psychologists and, you know, people who are trying to impact the way that they think about and manage their games in those situations. And I think there's a competitive nature, there's a ruthless streak, which probably is inherent. It's probably you're probably born with that as your, you know, the way that you attack life in general, I guess. But yeah, in terms of being able to block everything else out in the business end of a tournament and convert an opportunity, I think there's ways and means of developing your brain and your mindset to do that. And you know, these guys know what they're doing. They've got whole teams that sit behind them that are working all these different aspects. But
yeah. Oh yeah.
But clearly, some get it more than others, don't they?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, all in all, good tournament. I thought I was pleased to make a profit.
Yes.
Now, let's get to the really painful part of last week.
Oman
Open.
Yeah, it was a lovely course.
You tipped up Brandon Stone, 80-1.
Yeah.
And
I've been on Brandon.
He was one shot ahead with the young Finn 22 feet away.
Yeah.
On the final hole.
I mean, you know, Brandon had been there or thereabouts all the way through that final round and, you know, tied for the lead or one behind or tied for the lead. And to make the putt on the 18th, and it was an incredible putt from off the green, what was it, 35, 40 feet, something like that. He thought he'd won it. You know, he was celebrating like he'd won it. I thought he'd won it. And, you know, it took an incredible, you know, as I said in my preview, what can only be described as a clutch putt to put Sammy Valimaki into the playoff. And from there, and again, I don't think the body language from Stone was bad at all. He looked relaxed in the playoff. He looked happy. He was smiling. He had a great chance on the second playoff hole to win, you know, from about 11, 12 feet, something like that, and just slightly overhit it for the line that he played. You know, on another day, he makes that putt. Another day, Sammy doesn't make that putt on 18 and we walk away with an 80-1 winner.
Yeah, on top of a 50-1 win of the week before. Let's get that in there.
You've
hit your straps, Paul.
Yeah, it's like the golfers who come and find those couple of weeks of form and then disappear again after that. So
I'm going to be talking to you all next week, Paul. Who's going to win the next race at Cheltenham?
Don't ask me that, Steve. No, it'll
soon turn to dust.
That's a recipe for bankruptcy if you're trying to get Cheltenham tips off of me. But no, Steve, I thought I'd won it. I thought he'd won it. I thought we'd won. So it was disappointing, but incredibly impressive from Valimaki. You know, even in the playoff, he made a 4.5-5 footer to stay in it on the second playoff hole, and that, you know, a lesser man could have missed that. He could have found the pressure too much and let that one drift by. Didn't do that, and the mistake eventually came from Stone. He just slightly misjudged the wind, I think, on his approach on the third playoff hole. And
I really like that course in Oman.
It's really good.
It's a lovely little course. I mean, you compare that course to what they built in Saudi and what all of the superstars are playing in Saudi. Yeah. I think that course in Oman is a lot better. It's a great course to watch.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a testing course. Again, we like testing courses.
Yeah, when there's a little bit of wind around, and you know, if there was a lot of wind one year, that would be a real, real challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it needs a little bit of wind to keep the players honest. But it's really good. It's a shame a few of the other players don't come along and play it, because, as you say, it is a cracking venue. Clearly, they used to play it as the season ender for the Challenge Tour, and you can see why. You know, they picked it as a big, strong course that's suitable for that kind of tournament. And I really enjoy it. I hope they stay there for a good few years moving forwards.
So in the end, we both got 81 places last week, but it could have been so much better.
No, both in profit for the week. So you dust yourself down and move on to the next week.
You move on, don't you? You can't dwell on it too long.
No.
Right, let's focus on the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Big tournament. Absolutely loaded field. I mean, when you're seeing the likes of Phil Mickelson at 80-1, you know, even players like Charles Schwartz or Poulter, they're triple digits. Joachim Niemann at 100-1. Kevin Knight, it shows you the strength of field that's here.
Yeah.
And you've got players that are in good nick, like a Harris English, 110-1.
Yeah.
Charles Howe III at 125s. There's some big prices. Lanto Griffin, you know, a lot of these very popular players. I'll tell you one player I do like at a big price, who's got some good course form as well, Carlos Ortiz. We've been talking about Ortiz for a while on this podcast, haven't we?
Yeah.
The fact that he's maturing, came close at the end of last year, didn't he, at the Mayakoba. And he was, again, top 16 at the WGC a couple of weeks ago, in his hometown, in his home country.
Impressive performances. You know, you're talking about a strength of field as strong as this is. These players, are they going to find their way into the top 7, top 8 with a couple of bookies this week, isn't it? Potentially as a DraftKings play, there's a lot of players that are a little bit further down that could be.
Yeah, we'll mention DK because there's a couple that jump out, aren't there? And I know that we get a lot of DK listeners from the United States. Thank you to all of you guys. And clearly there's a few over there in the United States that listen because they can have a bet as well in their respective states. But yeah, okay. I mean, everyone knows this tournament. I'm not proposing to get too stuck into the detail. It's a 7,450-yard par 72. It's clearly played at Bay Hill Country Club, which is Arnie's place. Huge links to Arnold Palmer. It's a tournament that the top boys want to win. Why wouldn't you? It's invitational status now. So it's a 3-year exemption on the PGA Tour. And as we keep talking now, the road to Augusta. It's a well-paved road. Arnold Palmer this week, Players' Championship next week. A lot of players will then go straight to the WGC in Austin for the match play, and then it is the Masters for them. So you've got a lot of top elite pros who have effectively got this week, next week, and then the match play, and then they will be driving down Magnolia Lane for the Masters. It starts to focus minds, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a tough golf course. It's a classical golf course as well. So a lot of it is tree-lined. A lot of it has there's a few dog legs. There's some very stretching par fives. I think three of the five are above 560. They extended one last year to turn that from 560 to 590. It's the kind of course that can bite you. But what we have seen in previous years here is you compare this to the Honda Classic down the coast at down the state at West Palm Beach. This doesn't tend to get a lot of wind because it's quite central in Orlando.
Yeah,
that's changing this year though, Paul.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wind in the forecast. A lot of wind, and you were looking at the forecast with me this morning as well. The winds, it's not only quite strong and it's across all 4 days. It's changing direction day by day.
Yeah.
So this golf course is going to play different Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day has a different wind direction.
Yeah, it's going to keep them on their toes, isn't it?
It is. Now, last year we saw Francesco Molinari win this at 11 under. And you can see the weather section in my preview. There's always a link to both Paul and my preview in the description box of the podcast. Now, last year, wind 6 to 12 Thursday, 6 to 12 Friday. I'm talking miles per hour as well. 10 to 15 on Saturday, 5 to 10 on Sunday when Frankie made his run.
Yeah.
So really, not, you know, just a light breeze kept them on their toes. I'm seeing gusting 20, if not over 20, for the whole of this week.
Yeah.
I think this is going to turn this into a bit of a grind, a bit of a messy tournament, mate.
Well, Frankie didn't get particularly low last year, did he? What was it, 11,
11 under? 11 under.
So what you're looking single figures quite probably then, aren't you, to get the job
We
done
had 11 well. Under. Forget about, I think McIlroy's 18, 19 under in 2018. That is not going to be anywhere near where we're at this year.
Yeah.
Mark Leishman, 2017, 11 under. Yeah. That's interesting because the final Sunday it was blowing 25 miles an hour plus that day Leishman won. I think of the recent renewals, that is probably the closest that we'll get to this week.
Mm. It's a good proxy, actually, because Leishman's a good win player as well, isn't he? So it makes perfect
sense. So's Charlie Hoffman and Kevin Kisner. They came tied second, a shot behind.
Yeah.
Great win players. Tyrrell Hatton was in the top five as well with McIlroy and Adam Hadwin.
Mm.
So anyway, I'm thinking 2017, great proxy. I haven't seen the wind blow at Bay Hill since we've gone to this new format, of course, where they've widened the fairways. I mean, they're wide old fairways. Tiff Eagle, Bermuda grass greens, as we saw last week at the Honda. If 12 under won it last year, I could see this being single digits.
It could be an 8 or 7, 8, 9 under job, couldn't it, quite easily?
Yeah. Difficult to say. I could be completely wrong. Could be 15 under wins it. I don't know. But sitting here right now, over here in the UK on a Tuesday morning, and when I was pulling all of the tips together yesterday, for me, I was thinking no more than 10, 11 under wins this. Tough golf course, I think we're going to find this week. Right. If we're looking at previous prices for winners, Molinari last year was 33-1. McIlroy was 20-1. 20-1 on Rory McIlroy. That shows you the kind of form McIlroy was in that season.
He wasn't in blistering form. He wasn't coming off the back of second and third, was he?
Everyone was totally on his back, if you remember, saying, you haven't won for such and such. Yeah. 20-1 more. Mark Leishman won at 100-1. Average those out. Last three winners of this, 51-1 across the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Before that, Jason Day at 14s, Matt Every at 300s. Every in 2014 was 66s, and then we go into the Woods era when he's just smashing it up in single digits.
Mm.
Martin Laird, 2011, 45-1. He was top 50 in the world at that point, Martin Laird.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the thing I find interesting about this tournament. First, it's a classical golf course. When you look at the traditional skill statistics, average them out over the last 10 renewals, this happens a lot on these classical tests. Any kind of game shape can win this.
Mm.
I mean, in Matt Every, you've got a great putter. In Jason Day, you've got a phenomenal drive of the golf ball that's got a superb scrambling and putting game. Mark Leishman is a great all-rounder. Francesco Molinari, more of an accurate ball striker, who, as we know, over that 12 to 15-month period when he had won the Open, won some big tournaments in Europe before then, until he got to the final round at Augusta a couple of weeks later, he was putting brilliantly as well at that stage as well.
Yeah, it does tell you that despite it being 7,500 yards in length, it's not all about power off the tee.
Exactly.
There's a different mix there, isn't there?
So when I'm looking at tournament skill averages, traditional stats, it's accurate. The top stats were greens in regulation. You average them out. They were 15th apiece. So 15th for greens in regulation, 15th for putting average. As you said, I think any shape of game can win here. You look at this in terms of strokes gained, this is where it gets really, really fascinating. So Day, Leishman, McIlroy, Molinari. Last four winners, strokes gained. Average them out. Strokes gained off the tee, 19th. Strokes gained on approach, 21st. Strokes gained around the green, 33rd. Strokes gained tee to green, 10th. This is completely different to what we saw last week at the Honda Classic, where strokes gained tee to green, I think, averaged out across the last four winners at third. Putting was in the 20s. This week, we've got strokes gained tee to green, 10th. Strokes gained putting, 3rd.
Yeah.
So Molinari was 4th for strokes gained. Rory McIlroy was strokes gained putting 1st in 2018. Leishman second, Jason Day sixth. You have got to have a hot putter at Bay Hill.
I vaguely remember that putting performance from McIlroy.
Oh, it was crazy.
That the one where he didn't miss inside 10 feet all week or something.
And he was nailing 20, 25 footers on the Sunday.
Yeah, making everything.
Justin Rose just looking at him, shaking his head, going, this is just incredible.
Yeah. But when he's like that, when he plays like that, Rory, you can't compete with him, can you?
Of course you can't.
He's hitting fairways a long way down, he's hitting greens and he's making putts. I mean, you win tournaments when you're like that. Yeah.
Again, another crazy angle. I'm going to take you from Matt Every back. So Matt Every in his second win, miscut, this was form in, miscut 63rd, 49th, 69th. Right. Jason Day, the year he won. Bearing in mind he was world number one. He'd started the year 23rd at Doral, 11th at Pebble, miscut at Torrey Pines. Mark Leishman, 27th at PGA National, miscut 24th, 20th. Rory McIlroy, the year that he won, 20-1, miscut at Copperhead, 59th at the Honda, 20th at Riviera, miscut Pebble. Frankie Molinari last year, 17th in Mexico, 27th out of 35 at Kapalua. It's not screaming absolute in-your-face form, is it?
No. I don't think you need to be coming off a top three at the Honda to be the only type of person who could win this. There's many shapes or forms of incoming form by the looks of it.
Yes, if I go back to Ernie Els, he'd won at Doral 2 weeks, the WGC Cadillac, before winning this. I get that. There was a Martin Laird, I think he'd finished in the top five. Yeah, I get that. It does happen. Trends get broken. It isn't screaming to me a Tommy Fleetwood at 14-1, a Bryson DeChambeau at 16-1, a Hideki Matsuyama, who hasn't won for God knows how many years, at 20-1. And my personal opinion is he struggles on Bermuda grass greens. Also, none of those, you know, it doesn't also screen previous winners. So, an Adam Scott who won a few weeks ago, is he likely to win? Well, fate's it, you know, a lot of that trend says no. Xander's making his course debut, putting terribly. What I do see, though, across Day, Leishman, Rory, McIlroy, is players that had found a level of form with the putter before winning this. So, Day had finished sixth for strokes gained putting at Doral, the outing before. If you looked at it from a putting average perspective, he'd finished 16th and 14th for putting average the two tournaments before. Leishman had finished 9th for strokes gained putting the outing before at the Honda. That was 14th for putting average. McIlroy had had an absolute disaster at Copperhead, but the outing before that at Honda, he'd finished in the top 17 for strokes gained putting. He was also 14th for putting average. And then last year, Frankie Molinari, he'd finished 19th for strokes gained tee to green. I think he was in the top 10 for strokes gained approach in Mexico. But also, for his putting, 1.72, 11th in Mexico and 1.7, 14th for putting average in Kapalua. So people there that had been putting quite nicely. And that's where I'm at. I'm looking for elite players who haven't really played or hit their straps so far this year, who have been putting nicely recently.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting the point you made about players that have recently won, the Adam Scotts. You know, if they're talking about, or their objective is to get their game into kind of a winning shape before they get to Augusta, it's mission accomplished, isn't it? You know, you've proven to yourself that your game's in the right shape. Now, what do you
do? You're ticking over now till you hit Augusta, aren't you?
Exactly. Do you want to go hell for leather to, you know, get more wins under your belt in the meantime, or do you want to, you know, time your next run so that it coincides with the first week of April? You know, that's the key, I think.
You know, Adam Scott, Patrick Reed, these players they're confident now, aren't they? They're doing what they set out to do. They know that their game's in a great state for Augusta in a couple of weeks. Are they really going to go hell to level now? Yeah, I'm not sure they are. Xander could do with a win. He could do with a putting coach at the moment as well. But Xander could do with a win. You know, Hideki clearly and DeChambeau, they'd all want to be winning. Tony Finau, he's at your usual 33-1 price. Jason Day's interested, but you've also got so many top players now, as ever, who are horribly out of form. Ricky Fowler, 33-1. Brooks Koepka. You know, I'm seeing Koepka at 30-1.
Yeah, I know. Mad.
Justin Rose, 40-1.
Yep.
Horribly out of form.
Former world number ones, the pair of them. And, just not at it right now, are they?
So I wouldn't be overly surprised if a Koepka or a Rose or a Fowler actually pops up this week and gets right in contention, because they must be desperately practicing and trying to find what's missing out of their game to do that. You know, we don't think, you know, he's not playing this week. Dustin Johnson's another one that's horribly out of form. I need to speed up, really. I've actually tipped up five, but they're all 50-1 plus. The first one that came to my mind for this, local resident, the first three tips I'm tipping up are all 1.5 points. They're all each way. First one is Bubba Watson, 50-1. I've got 7 place each way with Coral. Now, you won with Patrick Reed at 50-1 at WGC Mexico. I just think Bubba, and we've been talking about Bubba a lot this season, he's playing some great golf, you know.
Yeah. He's not far off, is he?
When he was chalk at Riviera, naturally it all collapsed and he missed the cut and he putted like Boo Weekly. But then even last time out at Mexico, bearing in mind we're not looking for people with hot form here. So a missed cut and an 18th in Mexico is the kind of form I'm looking for this week. When I look at my 8-week trackers, he's all over it like a rash. So I take the last 8-week tournaments, so it goes back to the Sony Open, and I basically look at their the field positions of all the all the players and find out where they average out across the field. So in this field, he's 18th for greens in reg, 8th for scrambling, Bubba Watson. And then strokes gained 6 off the tee, strokes gained on approach 9th, 18th around the green. So again, he's scrambling nicely. 6th for strokes gained tee to green. Get this, 13th for strokes gained putting. And that includes that awful putting performance in Riviera. You took that away. I think he'd be easy in the top 3 or 4 for strokes gained putting. That's mad for Bubba Watson.
The all-round game seems to be there, doesn't it?
And he's fifth for strokes gained total. When I say strokes gained total, that is your strokes. I'm trying to explain it. That effectively is recent 8-week form strokes gained. He's fifth in this field. He's at 50-1. He lives around the corner. He's a member. Plays this course regularly as clockwork.
And what's his price for the Masters? 33, something like that? So you're getting a much, you know, potentially a 50% premium on his price this week to win a non-major versus Augusta in a couple of weeks' time, or in 4 weeks' time. Yep, food for thought, Stephen.
2 wins on the Bermuda grass, TPC Louisiana, and also Austin Country Club. And again, you look at Day, Leishman, Rory, Frankie Molinari. They've all played well at the World Match Play down in Texas. Tiff Eagle, Bermuda grass greens. I actually watched him beating Kevin Kisner on YouTube the other day. He absolutely mullered Kisner, although Kisner was playing awfully. But Bubba was putting so well.
Yeah.
When that putter works for those... a month, or it can be a matter of weeks with Bubba. He can be unbeatable. He's very he's in the same mould as McIlroy to a certain extent. I know he's nowhere near the level of consistency, but when that putter's working, he's so good from tee to green. He wins tournaments. And again, we keep talking, you know, win equity. We know with Bubba, wins golf tournaments. Yeah, does not shirk. Next up for me, another 50-1 shot, although there are bigger prices out there for this particular individual. There is a little bit of 55s out there. I'm going Tyrrell Hatton, who I know you were extremely impressed with at Mexico, and so was I, for a man that hadn't played for how many months off a wrist injury?
It was kind of November time, I think, the last time we saw him. But I was super impressed how he came back and... hit the ground running after a long layoff. I think he was impressed with himself as well. So, all good.
The other thing with Hatton, I know that he's European touring, mainly. He can keep form together, can't he? Mm. Great win player. When it gets gnarly, 5th at the 2016 and 6th at the 2020 Open Championships, played at Royal Troon and Royal Portrush when it was nasty.
Yeah.
Also 6th at the 2018 US Open. He's got 2 top 10s at the PGA Championship. Doesn't... Yeah, he doesn't play a lot of domestic golf in the States, but when he has played the Florida Swing, don't forget back in 2017, he was fourth at the Honda Classic, came here, finished fourth as well. I was on board that week. I just think 50-1, Betfair, 8 place each way for Hatton. Yeah. If he plays anywhere like he did last time, he'll be towards the top of the leaderboard. I've got no doubt about that. Next up, I've always been burnt on this particular individual. Never called him right. A bit like Billy Horschel. I didn't say Billy Horschel's getting very close to my bucket. Hasn't quite toppled in yet, but he's getting there, mate.
Billy Horschel. He took a step closer after last week.
Step closer last week. Abraham Anser. And if we go down this route of President's Cup narrative, 2019, Justin Thomas, Cameron Smith, Mark Leishman, Webb Simpson, Adam Scott, Patrick Reed, and now Sung Jae-im. I keep saying, and I'm not the only one, Abraham Anser's got to be close to a PGA Tour victory. I got 60-1, 8 place each way, 50 odds with Boyle Sports on Anser. He was 12th last year at TPC Sawgrass. And if you look at this tournament in Sawgrass, there's big, big, big links. 12th last year in Sawgrass, he was 3rd after 36 holes and 5th going into Sunday. I think 12 months down the line, he's a far better player. I mean, he's 4th at the WGC HSBC. He was 2nd last year at the Northern Trust, which the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. When he gets to the top of leaderboards with whoever's, top players he hangs around, I think he's due.
Yep.
Inbound form, 43rd at Riviera, 12th at Chapultepec, so just under that level. Where you'd look back and go, well, he wasn't in the greatest of nick. Yes, I think he finished 6th in Saudi and 2nd back in PGA West, 3rd week of the season.
Yeah.
But actually, that immediate form, 43rd Riviera, 12th at Chapultepec, I saw him as big as he's 66s. I mean, normally I think Anser's one that's they cut the price from under him. This week he looks quite good.
Yeah. I think, well, again, it's a reflection on the quality of the field that's out there as well. But as you say, this whole President's Cup narrative that sits behind these players, and they just keep winning, don't they? Players from last year's teams.
In Ryder Cup year, you don't really expect it. You kind of expect the Europeans and the Americans to be dominating, but it's not working like that at the moment.
No.
I've then gone two at even bigger prices, a point each way on both. If you're looking for a Bermuda grass golf course monster who plays absolute pants golf on the West Coast, apart from the Sony Open, which is clearly played on Bermuda grass, and who then starts popping onto leaderboards as soon as he gets into the Southern United States, look no further than Kevin Kisner. Point each way, 80-1, 7 place each way with Betfred. I won't bore you with his Bermuda grass wins and top tens. It's just endless. Second and first at the WGC Dell Match Play at Austin Country Club, on Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass greens over the last 2 years. As we know, fantastic win player. And he putted very, very nicely in Mexico. I think he was 10th for strokes going putting. On Poana greens, he absolutely despises. Yeah. The other thing with Kisner, you go back to 2017, and as we said earlier, finished 2nd, tied with Hoffman, a shot behind Leishman when in that windy renewal at 11 under here. And his win, his last stroke play win was 2017, Colonial, another classical tree line golf course. He won that at 10 under, and that tournament was just win the whole way through.
Yeah.
He's a grinder. Was he 2nd a few years ago at the Open?
He's got a great short game, hasn't he? I mean, for me, there's certain things that stick in your mind about players, and Kisner, for me, he's got a great little short game. And I think, whether it was in your preview or something, you said to me about this event this week, but players are going to be making at best 70% greens in regulation this week, so 30% of the time you're going to be needing to get yourself up and down, and players who've got that ability.
These greens, Paul, are traditionally some of the firmest and fastest on the PGA Tour, and I think they had 6 millimetres of rain last week. This course is dry. Unless they get the local fire brigade round and start getting the hoses out because they know it's going to be windy, this golf course is going to be firm, fast. Yeah. I think it's going to be very, very open, championship linksy feel to it.
Yeah.
You'd need, as you're just saying, if you're hitting anywhere close to 70% greens in regulation this week, you're going to be top in that category. You are going to have short grain and good wind, wind-affected putting and Bermuda grass putting. That is key this week. Kisner just fits, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then finally, I rarely tip this guy up. Never popular. Always seemingly overpriced because of that. But good God, this guy wins some big tournaments. 66 to 1, 33 to 1, and 150 to 1 was his last win last year. He's got 5 PGA Tour victories. He's mixed it at the very top of major championships, be that the Masters or wind-affected Open Championships. You look at his correlating form across strong classical golf courses, Torrey Pines, Riviera, Augusta, Quail Hollow. He's a winner at Quail. He's finished second at Torrey Pines. He's a winner at Riviera. JB Holmes. And he's putting lights out, mate. His form this year, 30, 16, 16, 14, 14, 51st. It's almost very, it's very, very similar form that to Mark Leishman back in 2017.
Yeah, it's consistent, isn't it?
My trackers, he's first for putting average, third for strokes gained putting, and he's 10th for strokes gained total. So like I say, 8 week recent form, strokes gained total. He's 10th in this field. He's 100 to 1.
Yeah. Yeah, and he gets a lot of bad press, doesn't he, for his you know, his speed and slow play, but you know, should that affect him? This week, it is tougher, then everyone's going to be slowing down a little bit anyway, aren't they? It's not going to be a rattle round in 4 hour job.
But for someone that bombs it, can get 55, 60% greens in regulation, if he's scrambling games on point and he keeps this putter rolling, mate, he's right in the mix, JB Holmes. And he wins big tournaments. Don't forget, that last win at Riviera, loaded. Absolutely loaded. Won it 150 to 1. Saw off JT, he saw off Justin Thomas, didn't he, in the final round?
Yeah. Always one to watch out for in the first round leader market as well, JB. And I know I looked at the market earlier and there were only a few, there was only about 5 or 6 bookies up. So I haven't placed any first round leader bets yet. But subject to what his tee time is and the prices we get on him, he might be one to look at in that market as well.
So Holmes, Kisner, Anser, Tyrrell Hatton, Bubba Watson. Those are my 5 against the field. I've filled my boots. DraftKings plays. I know you're keen to talk about it. And as I said, we do get a lot of DraftKings listeners. Thank you to all of you. I think Christian Bezuidenhout. He is playing some fantastic golf, isn't he? As we know on the European Tour, is Christian.
Yeah.
He is all over my 8 week skill set trackers. Literally like a rash. Now, they're clearly all European Tour and one WGC event in there. But if he can get his head around the fact that I'm playing the PGA Tour, I'm going to, you know, it's a step up. I'm going to play like a, you know, not play very well. If he actually just turns up and treats this as a normal golf tournament, he could play very well this week, Christian Bezuidenhout.
Yeah.
I don't know what price he's on DraftKings, but I doubt if he's overly expensive.
7,100. So yeah, there's some good scope for a player.
You want a low-owned European Tour guy that might show up and get you a top 30, top 25 finish, I think Christian Bezuidenhout, guys, is a great shout.
Yeah, and that's the point, isn't it? He's not going to pop on many of the US-based models this week. So
he's not going to pop many models in the US, is he?
No, he's going to be overlooked in that respect. So. And another thing you looked at, and you talked about in your preview, was par 5 scoring, which is pretty important to this. And players that are towards the top end of that this year. Alex Noren's another one who's playing very well on the par 5s at the moment. And there's him, there's Kevin Streelman as well. We finished second a few weeks back from memory. So he's had some decent form.
He did, yeah. Was that Riviera?
Yeah, it may well have been. I forget offhand exactly what it was, but certainly within the last month or so, 7,000 is available for on DraftKings Streelman. So yeah, there's a bit of value to be found out there. I think Noren 7-3. So for players that are, you know, top end of that,
Pebble Beach, Streelman finished second. Yeah.
And Wyndham Clark was another one.
He's playing some good golf,
isn't he? He's 21st in the par 5 rankings for the season to date. And, 3 consecutive top 20 finishes coming into this.
I never, ever back this guy, Paul, and nor do you, but Rafa Cabrera-Bayo as well. I think he's playing, he's just bubbling along under the surface. He'll be low-owned for DraftKings purposes. I think RCB, he's got a top 5 finish here as well.
Yeah, it does like a backdoor top five, top ten, doesn't he?
For drafting purposes, what we were looking for, isn't it?
Yeah, precisely. Mm. It can be the make or break for your team, particularly if he does.
I wonder if Graham McDowell's going to go well as well this week as well. You know, he won in Saudi in those awful conditions. On those, he's clearly an all-Lando guy. He's got some good finishes here, Graham. There's rumour, you know, he's fringy Ryder Cup. This is his kind of assignment this week, isn't it? Wind's blowing hard. GMAC.
Yes. You may
well never call him right.
You may well have just stolen my thunder on one of my outright picks there, Stephen.
Mm. Go on then. Sorry.
That's all right. I've backed two outright, actually. The first one's Sung Kang at 150 to 1. Mm-hmm. I took him with seven places each way with Betfred. Par five scoring, he's top 40 for that this year. He's top 40 last year, so he can play the par fives well. At the Genesis, where he finished second 2 or 3 weeks back, he co-led the field for par five scoring, so that stuck out nicely. He putted really well there, actually, that week as well. He doesn't mind a grind, and I think that's really what I was looking for with the players. And you mentioned GMAC, and I'll talk about him in a second, but if you look at some of Kang's best finishes, sixth here last year at 8-under, was his score for the week. He was 12-under for the par fives that week here last year, second in the field. You go back to some of his performances at the Quicken Loans at TPC Potomac, third and fifth back in 2018, 2017.
Yeah. 2017. I looked at that for Abraham Anser. I think he was a place behind him that week.
Yeah. He does seem to pop up in these...
Don't forget Riviera a few weeks ago. He was second.
When it gets tougher, I think he comes into his own. The Texas Open back in 2017, he was sixth in that event. And that's another single figure winning tournament. I mean, for me, the only question really is his Bermuda grass putting. And I look through his form and generally it's been better on pure bent or bent with a bit of power.
But then Riviera a few weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but the fact that he finished sixth here last year, for me, that's the price, 150 to 1. I'm quite happy to take a chance on him to see how that goes.
Where do you think he was strokes gain putting for that sixth here last year?
Oh, there you go then.
Out of sort of 60, 65 players.
He probably nailed a few. Second.
Sixth.
Sixth.
So clearly he can play these particular Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass greens very, very well.
That's not a bad shout, is it? Mm. Not a bad shout at all. I've gone for Kang. I've also gone for Graham McDowell at 150 to 1. Again, seven places again with Betfred. Actually, Fred has got some very nice prices, and I'll go for that in a second with Qatar Masters, but there's some good stuff from Betfred this week. Again, just to echo what you just said a second ago, Steve, breezy conditions will suit. Cooler temperatures over the weekend that should suit the Europeans over the Americans, I think. And actually, if you look through the record here, Europeans have got a good, strong record in this event generally. So I don't mind siding with one of the guys from the other side of the pond this week. Fourth at the Sony, missed cut in Dubai, one in Saudi, as you said.
Yeah. And that then, was 7-under, was it, who won that out? Wind is blowing 25-30
again, throughout. It wasn't a birdie fest by any stretch of the imagination. And that's exactly when he comes to the four, isn't it? And last two starts, missed cut 69. And that's why you're getting 150 to 1. But if you look at that's how GMAC rolls. You go back to, what year was it? 2013, I think it was. He won three. You remember that sequence he went through where he won, miscut, miscut, won. You know, it was kind of three wins in six or seven starts, and it was just surrounded by miscuts in between times. And he's that kind of player who can just lift his game. And as you said, in Ryder Cup year, he's another one like Westy who's going out there and he's going to be going hell for leather to get himself automatically into that team.
Oh, mate, he'll suit Whistling Straits, won't he? 7,900 yards, GMAC. He's going to be one of our strongest players.
I don't think he'll get a pick if it's going to be on the...
That's Steve being cynical, everybody.
If it's down to course fit, I don't think he's going to get a captain's pick. But if he can find his way onto the team by rights, then fair play to him.
Yeah, he fits big style this week, GMAC.
He doesn't he? You talked about his form. He was second here in 2005 at the Bay Hill Invitational, second again in 2012, third after day one last year. So he's another one potentially for a bit of first round leader action. I have another first round leader in mind, and you won't be remotely surprised to know that I'll be going for the trusted favourite, Matt Every, this week. When some pricing comes up. So potentially I'll have a good look at the first round leader market, but Every, GMAC and JB Holmes are potential first round leaders for me. I mean, Every, he loves this place, doesn't he? Virtually dead last week at the Honda, but that's kind of how he rolls. When he won this in 2015, he came off some horrible form, didn't he? And
thing is, with Every, he was contending for the lead in Puerto Rico after 54 holes. Was he in the top three or four?
Mm.
Yeah, collapsed. And then he manages to make the cut last week at PGA National. And then collapsed at the weekend. But he's not playing bad golf, really, for Matt Every.
There's some sporadic flashes Brilliance. Of form there. And, for a first-round leader bet, all you need him to do is tie that sporadic flash of form into those first 18 holes. You can do what
then
he likes
after
that.
Yeah,
he can show 85 the second round, I don't care. But
We don't care, do we?
No, if you can come out with a 63 and nail that first round lead, then that would be very nice indeed. And I think you're going to get, and again, not many books were up when I looked at this just a few seconds ago, Tuesday morning here. But I think you're going to get between 150 and maybe up to around about 200-1 against Every being first round lead. Which, again, quite happy to have a punt on that.
Yeah. Before we move on to Qatar. I'll just take you through the top 10 of our predictor model. Again, there's a link through in the description box. Paul mentioned it. Betfred are outstanding on price this week. 7 places each way. If you fancy a Betfred account, they're top price right now on Fleetwood, 14s, DeChambeau, 18s, Scott, 22s. Bit of Tony top five. He's at 33-1 with Ricky Fowler and Jason Day. Justin Rose and Stenson, 40-1. Morikawa and Fitzpatrick, the young guns. Fitzpatrick, 50-1. Hatton 55s, Kevin Kisner 80-1. You will not get a better price, and they have got 7 places each way at 50 odds. If you sign up via golf betting system, you get an additional 30 free spins on top of your bet £10 and get £30 in free bets. Offer for United Kingdom residents only. Key terms available at golf betting system. But we keep mentioning Betfred. We keep mentioning Unibet on the podcast. We're going to keep mentioning Boyle Sports soon as well, because this year in 2020, they are topping the each-way charts. They are above Paddy Power. They are now 8 places each way on European Tour and PGA Tour every week.
Yep.
So Boyle Sports, if you want to maximise each-way places now, Boyle Sports is the place to be.
Yeah, they've been very aggressive.
I got JB, was it with Boyle Sports this week? At top price, 100-1.
Very nice.
No brainer. Mm-hmm. Top 10, Jason Day, 33-1. 9, Tyrrell Hatton, 55-1. 8, Xander Schauffele, 22-1. That's with Unibet, 6 each way. Patrick Reed, 28-1 with Unibet, 6 each way. At 7, 6, Tommy Fleetwood at 14s with Betfair, 8 places each way. 5, Hideki, 20-1 with Betfair, 8 places each way. 4, Justin Rose, 40-1 with Betfred, 7 places each way. I think a lot of people will be playing Rose, both in DraftKings and in betting this week, but he's just showing nothing for me. 3 is Adam Scott, 22-1 with Betfred, 7 places each way. 2 is Ricky Fowler, there's another one that's struggling. 33-1 with Betfair, 8 places each way. And number 1, you won't be surprised, it's Rory, 11-2 with Betfair, 8 places each way.
Mm.
Right, let's talk Qatar Masters. They've stitched you up again, haven't they? Brand new course for Qatar.
Yeah, it's another one of these typical European Tour curveballs that they throw at you every now and again. So go all the way back to 1998, and we've been playing at the Doha Golf Club, which we've got stacks of information, stacks of history, stats going back over 20 years, and a nice linksy feel to the old track, and you could really get your head around it. And they've moved it, yeah. They've moved to the other side of the capital there in Qatar, at Doha, and they've moved to a new Jose Maria Alathabal creation, which we'll be seeing for the first time. Only opened in 2018, so everyone's seeing it for the first time, pretty much, other than anyone who's been lucky enough to go out there and play a practice round. So, yeah.
Another is this the new home ongoing, or is it all kind of one?
I've not seen anything to confirm or deny that, but we shall see. I didn't see any rationale for moving it either. It's strange, isn't it? It's just it's frustrating when it happens because you have got all of this information that sits there and helps to inform your picks, and then you're kind of stumbling around in the dark on a new track to try and get your head around. But let's embrace it for what it is. And I'm not sure you can fully disregard all of the form because, you know, we're literally 2-3 miles away from the old track, just a little bit more inland. But yeah, clearly it's gonna be slightly different. It's gonna have its own nuances. And yes, we'll reserve judgment on the course until we've seen it. I'm sure it's a cracker. Let's have a look at the market then. Martin Keimer is the favourite now this week, 14-1. Him and Thomas Peters opened around about the 16-1 mark as co-favourites, but Keimer's been backed into 14s on the back of his top 10 finish last week in Oman. Peters is out to 18-1 in places now after his missed cuts last week in Oman. Bobby McIntyre's playing this week, 20-1. Matthias Schwab is playing this week as well. Neither of those guys played last week, 25-1. Joost Luiten, 28-1. Joost was interesting this week, actually. He did find, you remember I said in last week's pod that I couldn't go with Luiten because his iron play, which is normally his strength, had been just a bit off for the last few weeks. Well, he hit 86% of greens last week. He really should find it. That's back to Joost Luiten category standards. So he's starting to find his form again. So he's going to be one to watch over the next few weeks, I think. Mike Lorenzo Vera, Thomas Detry, Gavin Green at 30-1. Ross Fisher, Hao Tong Lee, George Katsaya, 33-1 this week, 35-1 bar.
Gorgeous George Coatsy.
Yeah.
Coatsaya. Yeah.
He's
gorgeous George.
Oh, I don't know. We talked about him last week. I just can't back him. But statistically, he was very difficult to shift this week, I must say. Education City Golf Club, then. That's our venue this week. As I said, it's a Jose Maria Alathabel design. Opened in 2018. 7,307-yard par. 70-71. And whereas Doha was, it was only a mile inland, and it shared a bit of, a lot of linksy features, really, with, more genuine links tracks. It was often windy, exposed. I think this week, looking at the pictures and the description of the course, we're looking at something that's a bit more parklandy in style, a bit more green. It's still exposed, it's still a desert track. But I get the feeling it's going to be a bit more like the Emirates Golf Club, where they play the Dubai Desert Classic. A bit more strategic, potentially. A little bit more, I'm not going to say classical in style, because I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's going to be a different test to what we saw at Doha over the last, or Doha Golf Club over the last 23 years or so. And three par fives measuring 5.39, 5.93, and 5.92. So two that are really quite long. Only a couple of par fours under 400 yards, so the rest of them are quite lengthy. The closing par four actually plays as a par five to the members, is 513 yards. So that's how they've managed to squeak a par 71 rather than 72 out of it this week. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. I always quite enjoy a par five to finish where there's a bit of risk and reward, and you know, birdies and eagles are possible, but they've gone for the par four option by the looks of it this week, so we'll see how that pans out. Actually, it looks like quite a tricky closing stretch with a couple of stern par fours before you get to that closing hole. So it might be a bit of a card buster for a few players this week. As I say, we've moved track. If you look at the players who've won this event before, just to give you a flavour, 2010, Robert Coulson won at 66-1. Thomas Bjorn the year after at 200-1. Paul Laurie won in 2012 at 50s. We were on in that week, actually, Paul Laurie. And again, it was a windy week and you could kind of work through the linksy angle with that. So it was quite a nice pickup that week. Chris Wood won 100-1 the year after. Again, you've got linksy angle there. Sergio won at 8-1. Grace 25-1 in 2015. Grace again at 8-1 in 2016. It tells a very similar story, doesn't it, in terms of these players with a linksy heritage. Young Eun Wang in 2017, 33-1. Eddie Pepperell, 70-1 in 2018. And Justin Harding won at 55-1 last year. I mean, the only consistency between all of those players is they all had a top 10 finish in their last seven starts. And they'd all played the week before. Now, most of the field this week are coming here having played in Oman the week before. So if you're looking for that as a pointer, it's not really going to strip that many players out. Although there's a couple at the top end. Bobby McIntyre, as I mentioned. Matthias Schwab didn't play last week. Eddie Pepple didn't play last week. So there's a few of the more fancy players towards the top end-ish of the market who didn't come here with a win. Or didn't come here with any game under them for the week before. New course, I mean, there's not much to go on. There's not much in terms of descriptions and photos out there. For me, it looks like it might be about total driving. 7.3 for a par 71 at sea level is not going to be a pushover, I don't think. There's lots of bunkering in the key landing areas. I think you're going to have an element of power. I think you're going to have an element of accuracy as well, and it's been laid with platinum paspalum grass throughout, so on the tees, on the fairways, the rough, and also on the greens. So right. Those players with some paspalum form, and again, you can look at Oman last week, you can look at Saudi, you can look at Mauritius. There were some China Open events that were played on paspalum as well, dotted over the years as well. So there's a few different pointers that you can pick out of that paspalum angle if you decide to go down that route.
So down the gorgeous George route, yeah?
Yeah, if you look at paspalum players in terms of their performance over those events that I just read through, then George Kutsaya sits at the very top of that. If I could back George, I would have backed him this week, but I can't do it. I can't.
Is George in your bucket?
Well, I've not got a specific list because I'm not sure. I'd never say
you have mentally though, Paul. You have mentally. You just don't. You don't voice it.
But I can't. You know, these events all merge into one after a while. I gave up on George after he was leading going into the final hole in an event that I backed him at. I don't know, 80-1, some price like that, a few years back. Standing on the final tee in the lead, and I forget what he made, an 8 or a 9 or something, and didn't even place. And after hurling some abuse at the TV and probably going, you know, fully breaking my laptop until I'd gone down to PC World and bought a new one, that was probably when I'd last vowed never to back George Kurtzsayer again, and he hasn't. Hasn't found his way off of my list just yet.
Doesn't George always win after like 13 consecutive top 10 finishes, and he wins at like 8-1?
Yeah, a horrible price in South Africa somewhere.
South Africa somewhere, yeah. Let's take you through the top 10 of the predictor model that you produced last week, Paul. 10 Ross Fisher, 33-1 with Betfair, 7 places each way. All of 50 odds if I mention the places. 9 is Jack Senior, 150-1 with Betfred, 6 places each way. 8 is Connor Sim, 90-1 with Coral, 7 places each way. 7, Thomas Peters, 18-1 with Betfred, 6 places each way. 6 is Thomas Dietry, 30-1 with Betfred, 6 places each way. 5, Alejandro Canizares, 100-1 with Bet365. 4, Gavin Green, 30-1 with Betfair, 7 places each way. 3 is Grant Forrest, 80-1 with William Hill, 6 places each way. 2, Gorgeous George Kutsaya, 33-1 with Betfred, 6 places each way. I say his name differently every time I mention it. And number 1, people don't listen to this for pronunciation, for God's sake. Number 1, Hao Tong Lee, 33-1 with Betfred, 6 places each way. President's Cup 2019 player.
Mm. Indeed.
So Lee, Kutsaya, or Grant Forrest, top 3.
Indeed, Hao Tong Lee. I mean, I looked at the top end of the market, and I explained last week why I wasn't going to back Thomas Peters. I explained last week why I wasn't going to back Martin Kaymer, and nothing's changed really. I mean, Kaymer clearly finished 10th last week, and he's playing some decent stuff. Was it 4 consecutive top 20 finish on the trot? I for the price on offer, I just can't take him to actually win the golf tournament. He may well place, he may well finish 8th and really frustrate those people who've backed him each way. We shall see. I guess of the top players, Joost Loughton was the most tempting, given that he found his irons last week. I've gone for Hao Tong Lee, who topped the predictor, and as you say, he's got this kind of President's Cup narrative, President's Cup bubble sitting there, that seems to have produced, or has produced, four winners so far this season. Cameron Smith, Mark Leishman, Adam Scott, Sungjae Im last week from the international teams have already won. Hideki's been reasonably close. Anser's been reasonably close this week, this year as well. Clearly, you've gone down the Anser route this week as well.
Yeah.
Personally, I've actually placed the President's Cup each way double on Anser and Hao Tong Lee this week as well. Let's see if that narrative can convert both sides of the Atlantic. We shall see. Going back to Lee, he missed the cut on his only attempt at the Qatar Masters when it was back at Doha. The change of venue negates that to a degree, I think. I'm more interested in the win at the Dubai Desert Classic at the Emirates back in 2018. I think that's a better indicator of how it might go this week. Recent form, it's patchy, I guess. 41st missed cut, 21st missed cut, 18th last week in Oman. But if you dig through the individual stats, that 41st was in Abu Dhabi. He was 6th for driving accuracy, 3rd for putting that week. 21st was in Saudi, 6th for greens in regulation that week. 18th last week in Oman on the Paspalum greens, he was 3rd for putting average. And actually, if you look further into his Paspalum form, he was also 2nd in Saudi last year, again on Paspalum. That was behind Dustin Johnson.
He
led the field that week for putting. So if you put all of that together, and I think, I don't think it's... The guys that played on the President's Cup team are clearly going to be elated for their teammates who've got over the line. And I do think it will act as a shot in the arm to these players. I think there's a good reason to think that they're going to be enthused and going to feel that it's now their turn to go and to get themselves over the line this week. So, Hao Tong Lee is my top pick this week, two and a half points each way, 33-1. I went with Betfred on that particular bet. In fact, Betfred were best price on all four of my selections this week. So 33-1 with Betfred for Hao Tong Lee.
Let me stop you quickly. Hao Tong,
yes.
He's in the same kind of boat now as Thomas Peters, isn't he? And Martin Kaymer, i.e., with the European Tour not having many events going forward, where's he going to play his golf? Because they're all outside the world top 50. They can't play in the States. So they're all going to have weeks off, yeah?
Yeah, the schedule's so patchy now, isn't it? And you've got the Indian Open next week, which actually has got a particularly strong compared to what we've normally seen. I suspect that Bobby McIntyre will be favourite next week for that Indian Open. But there's a fair few players from last year's top 110 or whatever actually made it through to the got their card are going to be coming over and playing in India, because after that you've got the World Match Play, which clearly is going to be an elite field, week off, the Masters, which is clearly another elite field. Then you would have had the Malaysian or the Maybank Championship. You would have had the China Open. Both of those have been cancelled due to the coronavirus. So then you're through to the Spanish Open, which is the last week of April. So some of these guys are literally staring at 6 weeks now before they've got a chance to play again.
Gee. Wow.
The week after that, it's the Gulf Sixes. So again, that's it's a very small field of players playing for... a paltry prize fund. So it's some of these guys are going to be sitting there twiddling their thumbs for best part of 2 months. And that's if the coronavirus doesn't impact the schedule any further. And you and I can't call that right now because it's massively, it's all developing as we're sitting here talking. So we shall see. But yes, you're right. These guys who want to be getting into the top 50, who need to be winning golf tournaments, who need to be playing golf tournaments, literally aren't going to have the chance to do it.
No.
Very strange set of affairs right now.
Very interesting for a player like Thomas Peters, who a lot of people want in the European Ryder Cup team for very good reason, based on Whistling Straits. Hao Tong Lee then, so... Clearly, this week's a big opportunity for him.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no time for these guys to to think, oh, you know, I'm working into some form and I'll do it next week because, you know,
there aren't many next weeks.
There aren't many next weeks. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, okay. Right.
So I've got another three backing up Hao Tong. Brandon Stone, I backed last week. I've got to stick with Stone this week, 50-1 with Betfred. He didn't do much wrong, really, did he? And another week, Valimaki doesn't make that 20-footer, 25-footer, whatever it was on the last, and he wins. Or he makes the 12-footer on the second hole of the playoff and wins. I've got to stick with him at that price. I mean, he could go one or two ways, really, couldn't he? He could have a horrible miscut this week. Or it could be instant redemption. He seemed upbeat on Twitter afterwards. He seemed positive and enthused, clearly playing well. I mean, 10th and 2nd over his last two starts. He was 1st for total driving last week, 1st for ball striking. So the game's there. He just needs one or two more putts to drop, and I think it could well be the week for him to convert again over on the European Tour. He does have some previous of having gone the 2nd, 1st back on the Sunshine Tour in the day. So there's a little bit of a precedent there, should he do that this week.
Yeah.
Stone at 50-1. Similar field this week to last week, similar conditions, similar greens. I mean, for me, do you get a similar result? I think you may well do. I've gone for Sammy Valimaki, and even though his price has been hammered, clearly he was available 250-1 last week before he won 80-1 again with Betfred with six places each way. But I think with these kind of players, it's very difficult. It's very dangerous to assume that they're just going to win and disappear. You saw with Brendan Todd, didn't we, in the PGA Tour just before Christmas, that you shouldn't dismiss these players because when they find top gear, they can go out and win. First week, second week, they can do it.
Unless Sammy's been out on the vodka, which he probably has been with his team.
Well, you'd expect him to
celebrate. This field is exactly the same strength of field as we saw last week.
It is. And you know,
and it's a pretty similar golf course with the same kind of greens. So,
similar condition. I think it'd be similar in terms of the wind speeds, similar greens. Absolutely. There's not a massive amount of difference, really. And if he's up for another week of performance, I couldn't see any reason to suggest he wouldn't. I mean, you go back, Thomas Peters went win-win after he got his maiden performance. There was a week in between with Peters, and then he won the week after. Yeung-un Wang won twice in two consecutive weeks after he got his maiden win as well. So there is a precedent in relatively recent time for this having happened in the past. And if you go back to his Golf Pro Tour performances last year, he won four times in total on the Golf Pro Tour last year. Two of those wins were in back-to-back weeks, so he's clearly done it and done it relatively recently as well. So again, 80-1, I'm happy to find out if he has the game, and I was mightily impressed. He looked a very impressive player last week, so I'm quite happy to pay to see if he can go back-to-back. Finally, I've gone for Fabrizio Zanotti, the Paraguayan, at 110-1. Again, with Betfred 6 each way, 5 for the odds. He was one of last week's eye-catchers for me. Normally a good tee to green merchant, but then second for putting average last week on the Paspalum greens really stuck out. 25th place finish that was in the end, and that followed form of missed cut 56. So clearly a much improvement. Shouldn't have come too much of a surprise, really, the Paspalum form, because he has putted well in Oman in the past on the Paspalum greens. And again, if you look at his performances over the last 3 or 4 months or so, his long game's been looking good. I mean, Spain, he was 9th for driving, actually 4th for greens and reg. Turkey, was 5th and 14th on the same score. Saudi, 13th and 9th. And if you tie those performances in, the long game performances, with that putter that clearly found some form last week, and again, on similar greens to what we'll see here, it could go well. Two wins in the past, so whereas a lot of these players in this field have zero wins or very, very rare, he won in 2014, 2017, so he's just about due another one, I think. No exemption now, that 2017 exemption's long gone, so it's about time that he won again. Got himself a card sign up for the next couple of years, and he can just go and play his golf. 11th in Doha last year. That was his best Qatar performance, clearly on a different track, but perhaps he can take a little bit of
Very spiky Zanotti, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And he usually
When he gets in the mix, he can be very, very dangerous.
Yeah, and he tends to win off relatively under-the-radar form. And you remember, it was probably a year or so ago, he was playing some really consistent stuff. And he was being priced in kind of 33, 40 to 1 bracket.
Yeah, slaughtered. Yeah, the bookmakers get well after. They know him, don't they? They get right under him.
Absolutely. And he didn't win. He didn't convert at that point. Yet you'll find that when he does win, it's probably off form that looks far more like what we're seeing here. Miscut. 56.25. Yeah, a three-figure price. So, yeah, happy to have a go with Fabrizio Zanotti this week. So, to summarise, Fabrizio Zanotti, 110-1. Sammy Valimaki, 80-1. Brandon Stone, 50-1. Hao Tong Li, 33-1. All with Betfred, all with six each way, a fifth of the odds this week.
Was it difficult? I'm not going to say anything, because I'd be guessing. I don't know it. New course, where, but was it difficult for you after last week's podcast to not put Eddie Pepperell in your team?
Yeah, the thing that put me off Eddie is I couldn't find any specific reason why he didn't play last week, because he was due to play last week. And all of those Qatar Masters winners had acclimatised for a week before. All of them had played the week before winning over the last 10 years, going back to 2010 when I first started counting it.
Yeah.
So if I guess when push comes to shove, you need to make, you need to cut the line somewhere. And that was really where I stopped with Eddie. You never know with Eddie. There is 50-1, or there was 50-1 out there. I know he's been tipped and he's been backed in a little bit. So
what's the betting that Benjamin Hebert also comes and bites us on the backside? Missed cut last week. Give him the big build up.
Yeah.
Wins the week after.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, that's the kind of way that this game rolls, isn't it?
Paul, appreciate your time today.
Yeah, best of luck for your picks this week.
Best of luck to listeners. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Don't forget, Players Championship next week. Big, big podcast. Would really like to read out your iTunes, Apple Podcast review. So make sure you leave your name with the review as well. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week. Goodbye.